You're listening to Turkish Football Weekly, available on the World Football Daily Club podcast feed. If you're a member of World Football Daily, you can go to the site and stream the show anytime to your computer, mobile phone, or tablet without having to download or sync anything. If you're not a member of World Football Daily, just search World Football Daily Club podcast in the iTunes store and download the World Football Daily Club podcast feed for free. Enjoy the show. Everyone, and welcome to Turkish Football Weekly for the week of October 10th, 2013. My name is Atsu Dizdar, and joining me once again is Jeremy Chapman. Jeremy, how was your week?
Yeah, my week was not bad. It was really busy, honestly, at work, but that's really boring stuff. For me, it's more about the weekends, actually. So last weekend, I was in Louisville, Kentucky, at a street festival where I met some Swedish people, and we played Swedish lawn games in the park the next day. It was really hilarious and kind of random. This weekend, I'm driving to Asheville, North Carolina, to go hang out with a friend of mine and my cousin. So
nice.
For me, it's like adventures on the weekend is what I'm all about. How are things your way over there in Maryland, D.C.?
Well, the D.C. metro area has seen some rain over the last 2 days, but I know that I'm going to be watching the international games this weekend. Of course, Turkey is going to play the two crucial games in their World Cup qualifying endeavor against Estonia and the Netherlands. We'll get to more on that later on in the podcast. And of course, you know, us being in the U.S., you know, obviously the U.S. is qualified, but, you know, we do have our eye on the CONCACAF region. But enough about that. Let's get to the Turkish football, if you will. The results for week 7 of the Turkish Super League start off with Friday and Saturday results. Friday's only result saw Bursaspor beat Karabükspor on the road 1-0, and Saturday's matches all had the same result as the Friday match. Gaziantepspor beats Kayserispor in Kayseri 1-0. Konyaspor at home beats Kayseri Erciyesspor 1-0. And Beşiktaş beats Eskişehirspor in Eskişehir 1-0. So we'll start off with Friday. Sambasov receiving 2 yellow cards. The Karabükspor player leaving his team with 10 men after 28 minutes into the match. He got yellow cards in the 12th and 28th minutes. Murat Yildirim scoring 3 minutes after, so got sent off. Saturday's matches, Gaziantepspor, after only getting 1 point in the first 5 weeks, Gaziantepspor wins back-to-back games. And in this game, Serdar Özbayraktar scoring in the 54th minute, and Kayserispor haven't won since week 1 when they beat Sivasspor. For Konyaspor, Theofanis Gekas scoring for Konyaspor in the 57th minute to get the win there. And to the Beşiktaş match, both Michael Anoramo and Emre Şişmanoğlu made their league debuts in a Beşiktaş uniform for this game. It was the second out of 3 matches that Beşiktaş manager Slaven Bilic is suspended for. Emre Şişmanoğlu scoring in the 70th minute to give Beşiktaş the win there. So, Bursaspor, I will say that whenever Fernando Belushi seems to play, Bursaspor seems to do well. And, you know, you pointed out a highlight to me that I might have seen when I was watching the highlights of the match when it was over, but I think it's best if you explain it. But for me, looking at the Friday and Saturday results, you know, Beşiktaş getting back on track with the 3 points after those 2 losses to Galatasaray and Antalyaspor, and we still don't know the result of the derby. The TFF has not posted any official notice as to what the derby result will be. I mean, what's taking them so long is really my question.
Yeah, it seems pretty obvious. I don't know.
Yeah. But you looked at Konyaspor. They've won 2 out of their last 3 matches. Bjorn Flemix for Erciyesspor getting 2 yellow cards in the 86th and 90th minutes. And for Gaziantepspor, I mean, hey, I mean, back-to-back wins. I mean, we were talking about how poorly they started in the first 5 weeks, but look at them now.
Yeah, all of a sudden they've just moved halfway up the table.
Yeah, exactly. So,
just about.
I mean, I look at these results, you know, Bursaspor getting back on a track in a little bit, and you'll have to explain the Belushi heel flick, if you will.
Yeah, the reason why I really want to mention this is because, you know, when a goal happens, we talk about it, or we, not just me and you, obviously, but as a society or Turkish people or, you know, football players or fans talk about amazing goals. Well, like Belushi had this almost goal, and if he had scored, it's all we'd be talking about, right? But since he didn't, nobody is, but I thought I would be the exception to that. At least he just received this pass sort of with the back of his heel and kind of flicked it over two guys, basically the last two defenders, and then received the ball sort of as it was coming down in front of him after he'd completely destroyed his men. And just his shot had plenty of power, but it just went over the bar, and you know, so it was no good. But I mean, that guy deserves some recognition for that play. I guess Bursaspor in the end didn't need that goal, thanks to Murat Yildirim, like you mentioned, but that would have been some really spectacular stuff. And the other thing I'd mention about the Karabük Bursaspor match is that Karabük now hasn't scored in four straight matches, and I thought maybe they'd at least break that streak, you know, with a home game against the seemingly struggling Bursaspor, but they pulled it off somehow, so that's really good for them. But I mean, Karabükspor, when are they going to score again,
Right.
right? I mean, at some point, the fans have got to be getting a little bit bored, right? I mean, like, you lose, right? But at least get some goals. So, and then Gaziantep getting their second straight. I mean, I exaggerated a little bit by saying they jumped halfway up the table, but they're pretty much right at the bottom, and now I think they're in 14th, but they're looking quite a bit better. There's some hope for them. And Beşiktaş also getting that win was pretty huge. I thought that was going to be a pretty tough match, you know, especially with Bilic out still, you know, unable to coach his team on the field. So maybe they lucked out a little bit there, but something positive from Beşiktaş after they had that couple of games skid.
Right. They certainly needed the win there. And, you know, for Kayserispor, it just really isn't looking too good for them right now. In fact, we've actually got some news coming out of that game, which I will talk about later. They will be having a new chairman pretty soon. It seems as though they're going to have to hire a new general manager, too. So, not looking good for Kayserispor, whom, you know, we were talking about last season. I mean, they finished fifth, but, you know, for some weird reason this season, it just hasn't really worked out for them. And, you know, I've always said that, you know, they're kind of a team to watch in terms of being on the rise and, you know, getting all these, you know, young Turkish diasporal talent. But, you know, they're in 17th right now, and it just isn't looking too good for them.
They've got a big city. They've got a lot of support. They've got a nice stadium, one of the newest in Turkey. And, you know, so the infrastructure's there, the fans are there. And even this season, they finally have, you know, a local rival in the Super League with Kayseri Erciyesspor. So it seems like they've got everything except for the results at this point.
Right. Okay, so let's move on to Sunday's results. Kasımpaşa wallops Elazığspor at home 4-0. Antalyaspor beats Çaykur Rizespor 2-1. Akhisar Belediyespor beats Galatasaray at home 2-1. Sivasspor at home beats Gençlerbirliği 2-0. And Fenerbahçe draws with Trabzonspor 0-0. Now, I do have a bone to pick with Trabzonspor chairman İbrahim Hacı Osmanoğlu, but I'll get to that later.
Yeah. If anyone knows about that situation, they will not be surprised to hear that you have a bone to pick with him. But we'll
Yeah,
get
we'll
to
get
it.
to it. But Kasımpaşa, I mean, just walloping Elazığspor. And, you know, Elazığspor, you know, they didn't do too badly to start off, but now they're right now in 15th place with only 7 points. Ryan Donk with 2 goals there, Barış Baştaş, and Oscar Scarione scoring the goals for Kasımpaşa there. For Antalyaspor, Lamine Diarra and Milan Barra scoring the goals against Rizespor, while Tevfik Kösa scoring Rizespor's only goal in the 59th minute. Diarra scored in the 45th and Barra scored in the 88th for Antalyaspor in that matchup. Sivasspor getting 2 goals from Aydın Karabulut in the 32nd minute and Rafik Jabur in the 88th minute. And we're probably going to be talking a lot about the Akhisar Belediyespor, Galatasaray, and Fenerbahçe Trabzonspor matches, but I guess maybe we should start talking about the Akhisar Belediyespor, Galatasaray match first. Now, after the Champions League match against Juventus, I should have tweeted that it wasn't a very ideal start for Galatasaray under Roberto Mancini. This is kind of a bad start, you know. Galatasaray actually loses for the first time this season in Mancini's league managerial debut. Omar Niasse, I told you to keep your eye on him. He scored both Akisar's goals in the 34th and 57th minute, but Didier Drogba scoring the only Galatasaray goal in the 68th minute, and he came close a couple other times to level the score. However, he did miss his opportunities. But, you know, for Akisar, you know, Omar Niasse, this guy's making people over there really forget about Theofanis Gekas. You know, Gekas was the main reason why Akisar stayed up last season, or a great majority of the reason. But, you know, signing Niasse is probably one of the best signings of the season so far for Akisar Belediyespor. In fact, you could probably say that for the league. And, you know, two goals here against, you know, the defending champions, you know, sending them to their first loss of the season. And, you know, for Galatasaray, you know, even though that we still have yet to find out what the derby result is, but let's put it this way, they won that thing. I mean, for all intents and purposes. But for Akisar, I mean, this would be considered an upset, although maybe the absence of Felipe Melo and Selçuk İnan for this game due to red card suspensions might have had to do with Galatasaray's loss. But, you know, Didier Drogba, to me, I mean, he tried to level the score, but unfortunately, it was all for naught.
Yeah, you know, the first thing I want to say is, you know, that really kind of sucks for Roberto Mancini, you know, debut match and then getting the first loss of the season. But the thing I really want to say is that Akisar Belediyespor right now is the most amazing home team in the league. I mean, they've got a perfect home record. They've played four games and they've won four games at home. And at this point, actually, as of this week, no other team can claim that record. So, I mean, I don't know what's going on with them, but they seem to really perform for the home crowd. And interestingly enough, they don't really seem to perform that well on the road. They have trouble holding that. I mean, I think also too, it has to do mostly with the luck of who they've played. I mean, you know, their home wins have come against teams like, you know, Gaziantepspor, but also teams like Trabzonspor and now Galatasaray. So it seems like Akisar Belediye, I mean, these municipality teams are sort of easier to ignore, at least for me sometimes, but maybe I don't think we're going to see a repeat of last season where they basically hung out in the relegation zone for pretty much the whole season and then, you know, barely survived right at the end. It seems like they've really put something together, and I think you hit the nail right on the head with mentioning Omar Niasse. So, you know, the guy who got both their goals and made it happen, I think the celebration that happened after the game was on the part of the Akisar players was certainly warranted given the accomplishment. I think in the Galatasaray camp, everybody's starting to freak out, but I just want to point out Akisar Belediye plays a mean home game. Like, maybe give Mancini another couple of matches.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is correct, though. What we're seeing with Akisar is, like you said, they haven't lost a home match this season, so
they've won every home match this season.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
They've literally conceded two goals at home, only two, and one of them was Drogba's goal that you mentioned, and the other one came in their first game of the season. That's crazy.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, they've won all their home games this season. They haven't lost at home, so that's a pretty good accomplishment for Akisar. You know, they can't play at their own home stadium because, let's face it, their own home stadium isn't enough for Super League standards, so they have to play at Manisaspor's home stadium, but they're making it their own. And, you know, kudos to Akisar for making the Ondokuzmaya Stadium over there, the Manisa Ondokuzmaya Stadium, a real fortress for right now, at the very least.
Yeah, but they've suddenly made themselves like a team to watch other than just, you know, a random Anatolian club that you just sort of gloss over.
Right. So let's move on to the Fenerbahce-Trabzonspor match, unless you want to say anything about the other three matches.
Well, I would first mention that for the first time this season, Kasımpaşa didn't concede a goal in their 4-0 victory against Elazığspor. It was their first shutout result, so you were mentioning their success with that, but I thought that was sort of a worthy statistic. But yeah, we can move on to you want to talk about Fener and Trabzonspor? I guess one other thing I'd say is that Gençler Birliği, I thought they were going to lose 1-0 as they have four times this season, but they lost 2-0 and they still haven't scored on the road. So tough times for Gençler. I really like them, but I hope they're going to have to come up with something, or otherwise they're going to find themselves staying at the bottom of the table where they are now. Mm-hmm. But I think we've delayed your rant.
Oh, no, I'll get to him later when it comes down to
what about Trump's own.
Let me put it this way. When I report on, like, what sanction he got, you know, for really provoking the fans and things like that. I mean, Fenerbahce got a pretty hefty fine themselves for, you know, fan misbehavior there. I'll put in that rant. But as for the match itself, now I wrote in my format here that perhaps like Galatasaray's match with Antalyaspor last week, it was really a matter of how many potential goals Fenerbahce missed. But the difference between that match and the match we're talking about here is that Trabzonspor goalkeeper Onur Kıvrak also had a good performance as well. Now, you know, there really wasn't much in terms of scoring, of course, but at the end of the match, there were some confrontations. One was between Fenerbahçe's Selçuk Şahin and Trabzonspor goalkeeper Onur Kıvrak. Some Trabzonspor and Fenerbahçe players, you know, got into a little bit, you know, with the war of words and things like that. And Ibrahim Hagi Osmanoğlu, the Trabzonspor chairman, did attend this match. He was in the VIP section. And Fenerbahçe chairman Aziz Yıldırım wasn't at the match, but he was at the hospital, so I believe he had some blood pressure issues. But, I mean, when I look at the match, I mean, it was really a matter of Fenerbahce just missing a lot of opportunities. But, you know, credit has to be given to Onur Kıvrak. He did put in a very good performance. And you've been saying that Trabzonspor had a good shutout streak going. And, well, it does continue in this matchup. But, you know, Fenerbahce failing to score, you know, you'd think that with that, you know, that trident forwards of Musasso, Pierre Weibo, and Dirk Kuyt, you know, they just couldn't score. But, credit does have to be given to Onur Kıvrak in this case.
Yeah, to clear that up a little, it's now his fourth straight clean sheet for Trabzonspor for Onur Kıvrak. And I'll just mention sort of anecdotally, the other night, a couple of nights ago, I had some friends over for dinner. And after dinner, I was showing them some highlights of, you know, some random games. And one of them I decided to show them was Fenerbahçe and Trabzonspor. And they couldn't believe, you know, some of the saves and some of the really close calls in this game. And I, you know, for me, we're kind of used to it, I guess, or sort of what we expect. I don't know what football they've been watching, but they were like really impressed with that and entertained by the highlights, even though the game sort of ended up scoreless. So I thought that was kind of funny just watching their faces during all that. But yeah, Onur Kıvrak, man of the match for my money. And this was the first time this season that Fenerbahce couldn't win at home. And it kind of harkens back to, what was it, 2010, 2011? Am I going to the right season?
I think you're talking about the end of the 2009-10 season.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, when they drew in Şükrü Saracoğlu, much to Fenerbahçe's dismay, and Bursaspor were the champions. But it's not that time of the season, but I think all the fans remembered bitterly what they feel of the other team. And you mentioned Aziz Yıldırım had some blood pressure issues. I think probably everyone else in the stadium did too.
Well, he was at the hospital. That was actually reported that he was at the hospital.
Right. I think he had a legitimate medical excuse, but I think more in the figure of speech that everyone else had high blood pressure at this game. I mean, it just seemed like these fans hate each other, and for like good reason, I guess. But do you want to go into detail now about sort of what happened at the end of this game involving Hagi Osmanoğlu?
Well, let me build on your fact about Onur Kıvrak's shutout streak. The last time he gave up a goal was in the Akhisar Belediyespor match, and that was...
It was right at the end of the match, I think,
too. It was right at the end of the match in week three, where Kenan Özer scored in the 88th minute. So for... I can't do my math right now. It's almost...
360-some-odd minutes.
Yeah, 360 minutes worth of a shutout streak for Onur Kıvrak. But yeah... I do want to get to what happened at the end of the match. You know, obviously, the Trabzonspor chairman, Ibrahim Hagi Osmanoğlu, was there. He did attend the game in the VIP section. And then he got escorted out. And apparently some Fenerbahce fans, like right at the end of the game, just took offense to, you know, him being there. You know, there wasn't really much in terms of him getting into anything with the Fenerbahce board or the Fenerbahce club officials in the VIP section. And then he did get escorted out, you know, for security reasons. But the thing is, he wanted to go out through the main way. And then he just keeps walking to his car. And then some fan says, "How much did you pay off the referee?" And then he responds, "Why don't you go ask your club chairman or something like that. And then the security detail there told him, don't go out the front way because, there are fans there. They're hyped up. They're probably going to vandalize your vehicle or something. But, and then some, I think a Fenerbahce fan threw a water bottle at him, and then he gets up out of the car, or he was going into the car, stands on, I think he was riding in a Range Rover or something like that. I'm not sure exactly what kind of car it was, or it probably was an SUV, but he was screaming at the Fenerbahce fans, and then he gets into the car, and the police had to be brought in, just to disperse the crowd so he could get out of there. And I'm thinking, dude, you are trolling badly here. And I'm like, but yeah, I mean, I'm gonna get to a little rant about him later because I just feel like I need something to say about him. In terms of, him showing up, and we'll have our argument about that later. But in terms of the match itself, I thought it was a pretty decent match. It's just, take the draw, and I guess everybody's happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess not everybody really is happy with it, but you sound happy enough, which is commendable, given your loyalties and so forth. But yeah, a good match for being scoreless, I would say.
Okay.
Hard to argue with
Okay,
that.
so let's wrap this up with the standings after 7 weeks. Fenerbahce continues to lead the league with 16 points now after 7 matches. Now, again, like we said, we don't know the result of the Beşiktaş Galatasaray derby match from a few weeks ago, but Beşiktaş is in second with 15. Three teams with 13 points: Rizespor with 13, Aksaray Belediyespor with 13, and Trabzonspor also with 13. They are in third, fourth, and fifth, respectively. With 12 points in sixth is Kasımpaşa, and Sivasspor is in seventh with the same amount of points. And Eskişehirspor has 10 points, and we might as well say Galatasaray has 10 points too. I don't know what's taken the TFF so long, but when you look at the standings, I mean, what stands out to you other than maybe Genç really down there at the bottom with 4 points?
Yeah, I guess what I'd say is that it's still pretty close. We don't have a team that's, falling games behind down at the bottom of the table. I mean, Gençler Birliği gets a win, suddenly they can be in like 14th or something like that. So it's all pretty close, which I really like to see, frankly. It's no secret that I've got my eye on Çaykur Rizespor to see how they do, as well as the other recently promoted teams. I like to see Konyaspor, they find themselves in 10th place this week, so they're doing well for having just made it up. And Kayserispor, 16th right now, they need to find some form too. But the little guys are hanging in there, Ata Dizdar, and up at the top of the table, it's as tight as you'd really hope it would be. It's not like Fenerbahce or Beşiktaş is running away with it at this point, although they could easily start to, the way they've been playing lately, that being very well. So I think this, I'm happy with the
Okay.
table. Good table.
Okay, so we'll end this segment of Turkish Football Weekly, obviously, with the international break. The league will take a break, and we'll talk about the week 8 schedule next week on the podcast, but that will end this segment. Coming up, we've got some news going around the Turkish football world, and we find out exactly the sanctions coming from the Fenerbahçe Trabzonspor match. So stay tuned. And welcome back to Turkish Football Weekly. Talk a little bit of news going around Turkish football circles. Kayserispor chairman Recep Mamur and the entire board of directors at the club have resigned from their positions. The club will hold an extraordinary congress on October 23rd. Also tendering his resignation is Kayserispor general manager Süleyman Hurma.
Time out. The entire board of directors? That's
Yeah,
crazy.
that's pretty much everybody just said, we quit. But, looking at Kayserispor, like, good Lord, that's like they're not doing so well. So, there was actually chance of, Unitim Istifa. I'm sure you've heard that before.
Oh yeah, who
Who
hasn't?
hasn't? Right. So I'll talk about that a little bit later. Bursa Sport chairman Erkan Kürdistan has disclosed that the club will attempt to have Pablo Batalha receive Turkish citizenship. Batalha will have been in Turkey for 5 years come next July. The TFF Appeals Board has upheld Beşiktaş's four-match behind-closed-door sanction, which they got because of the pitch invasion in the Beşiktaş-Galatasaray derby, of which the result we still don't know from the TFF.
Can you tell we're a little
Yeah.
frustrated?
Come on. I mean,
I know, right?
how hard can it be? I mean, all you have to do is either say Galatasaray gets a 3-0 forfeit win, or say, well, it was so late in the match and Galatasaray was winning that we figured screw it, we'll just give it to them 2-1, because we pretty much know Galatasaray won that match. And come
Yeah, but look. It's probably like, you know, when somebody asks you for like your expert opinion, or like you have a really tough decision to make, but you've kind of already made up your mind like 6 seconds into thinking about it, but you kind of want to make it seem like, you know, you gave it a lot of thought or whatever. So they're probably just waiting just to make it seem like they're doing
Right.
something.
But yeah, I mean, just a couple of thoughts about Recep Mamur and the entire board of directors resigning from their positions at Kayserispor. You know, I know Kayserispor hasn't been doing so well, and you know, I've always kind of expected Kayserispor to become that kind of breakout team from the Anatolian region. You know, considering that, you know, Süleyman Hurma, who also has resigned, he's done a wonderful job as general manager, you know, just getting, you know, the talent that Kayserispor needs and getting all of these, you know, diasporal Turks, you know, who are really unheralded in, say, Germany or the Netherlands or places like that. And, you know, they've come to Turkey, you know, make a decent amount of money. I mean, we haven't heard anything about Kayserispor not paying their players on time. So if we, I mean, looking at Kayserispor, I mean, with Recep Mamur, I mean, okay, so the season hasn't started out so well, but it's almost like, you know, why are you just going to quit now? And for Süleyman Hurma, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of clubs out there who would be very glad to have this guy, considering his track record. And, you know, granted, Kayserispor, it's not the best of times at Kayserispor right now.
But dude, it's 7 games into the season. Like, is it just me? It's only 7 matches. We're not even, you know, a quarter of the way through the season right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And they all just panic. Like, they play 7 matches. Kayserispor, by the way, is 1, 2, and 4 right now, you know, having scored 5 goals but let in 10, and they're in 17th place. But like, you know, still, you know, they're a couple of wins away from 8th place. Like,
And Robert
I don't know.
Prochniecki, you know, their manager, you know, he's kind of on the hot seat at the moment, it looks like. But yeah, like you were saying, I mean, I don't think we're a quarter of the way through the season yet. You know, obviously, I would have said a third of the way through the season, but you know, still, why do it? I mean, this is just a seat of the pants reaction that we're used to when it comes to Turkey and its soccer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I'm sort of taking a look at the teams they've lost to, and it's I was hoping that it would all be like really good teams, but actually it's mostly very bad teams. So maybe the board is seeing something that we are not, but I don't know. I guess once a couple of them resign, and maybe everybody else sort of feels awkward and quits. For me, it's like when the entire board of directors resigns at a club. I mean, it's like there's just something about the culture of being on the board of directors that I guess I just don't get. Which is like a couple of your buddies quit, and so everybody's kind of like, it's like a unanimous decision.
I think it's probably out of loyalty. I think that's really what it is. It's probably out of loyalty.
Interesting. Well, that is weird. But I mean, maybe do you think we can expect to see different stuff from Kayserispor then soon?
I don't know if a board change is going to really do anything, or a chairman change.
Unless they put more pressure on the manager,
Right,
right?
if they put more pressure on him or give him the dreaded vote of confidence, knowing that. But you know, we'll see what happens from Kayserispor here on forward. Bursaspor, you know, trying to get Pablo Batalha Turkish citizenship. Well, Batalha will have been in the country for 5 years come next July. So, I mean, if they naturalize him and then he gets called up to the Turkish national team, I mean, well, can't be any worse, can it?
No, I think the Turkish national team could use him, frankly. And wow, 5 years. Good for him. I mean, has he indicated that he
I
wants
don't
to?
think he's really indicated that he has wanted to play for Turkey, but I know that he has never played for Argentina on any international level. So, There is an opportunity there for Turkey if they want to take it. So,
Cool.
all right. So, quickly about the four match behind closed doors sanction for Beşiktaş being upheld. And I know that they're selling tickets for the games just to support the team, and people have been snapping up tickets. I think Slaven Bilic has snapped up some tickets for those games himself, but obviously going to be a big financial loss there.
Yeah, let me just say, I think Slaven Bilic has been like, he's just been like such a true Beşiktaş fan, right? Like he's really fallen in, I think, and found his place, right? Wouldn't you say so? I mean, he's like, given all the comments he made before the big derby with Galatasaray about how they were going to fill the stadium and all this and that, and then him taking responsibility for a lot of the madness that happened, and then stepping up here, like you said, about supporting the team and getting some, what would you call it, like celebratory tickets or
Yeah.
something, ceremonial tickets or whatnot, decorations. Yeah, I find myself kind of liking the guy. I mean, just based on everything we've heard from him since the beginning of the season, he seems like he really gives a damn, you
Yeah,
know?
exactly. And one quick thing that I didn't put on the format, but you did mention it to me before we started recording. Unal Aysal, the Galatasaray chairman, has said that he believes that a European Super League will happen within 5 years. And I'm just thinking, they've been talking about that sort of thing for at least the last 2 decades.
Right, but not just that, but it sounds like he would be in favor of
Yeah.
it, was the impression I
Yeah.
got, right?
And he also said that if Chelsea wants Burak Yılmaz, he's not going to be a hindrance to any potential move over the wintertime. But, with Burak Yılmaz these days, I guess what you see is what you get. And, we've talked about how, he really can't finish all that well. We've always talked about, his off-the-ball movement is superior. But, when it comes to his finishing, it's pretty subpar. And hopefully Chelsea knows what they're getting themselves into. I mean, the rumor was that there would be a swap deal. Demba Ba would go to Galatasaray, and if Burak Yılmaz would go to Chelsea, I mean that would be interesting. But for Chelsea fans, if that move happens, know what you're in for, because I like to call him Mr. 20% in that he only scores like one out of the five chances he gets. So.
But if Chelsea can train him, I mean, if Chelsea can some sort of help him bring that maybe up to like Mr. 35% or whatever, then I mean, then that would be huge, right? I mean, because the guy is basically perfect except for this 20% business, right? And if you can just kind of like work on that a bit, it maybe they feel like they can. I don't
We'll
know.
see.
Maybe I'm too optimistic.
We'll see what happens. But there have been sanctions resulting from the Fenerbahçe-Trabzonspor game. Fenerbahçe have been fined a total of 120,000 Turkish lira for fan misbehavior and detrimental events on the field. Trabzonspor have been fined a total of 80,000 Turkish lira. 10,000 of that is for failure to follow instructions of security personnel, and 70,000 for posting a very condemnation statement on their website. That's what the PFDK put up as to their reasoning for that. And let me get to Ibrahim Hagi Osmanoğlu, okay?
Here we go.
Okay. First off, I understand that you feel like you've been screwed, with the whole 2010-2011 thing. With the whole match fixing case and things like that. But, with all these pundits coming out and says, well, the Turkish Football Federation didn't take the right decision or didn't do the decision they were supposed to make or whatever the heck they're saying. Most of those pundit programs are absolute crap anyway. But at the end of the day, when we were reporting on it, I said the matter is over because the TFF made their decision. They said, well, I think it was, we know that attempts have been made, but they were not reflected on the pitch. And for a domestic cup, for a domestic competition, they have the jurisdiction over Turkish football. I mean, people saying, oh, well, CAS ruled this or UEFA ruled that, that's for European eligibility. That, I mean, like we've said on the show many, many times that UEFA and the TFF are autonomous from each other. And this is more of a domestic issue, which is under the jurisdiction of the TFF. The UEFA can't say anything on this. UEFA can open up its own investigation, which they did, and say, well, we're not allowing you in our competitions because we don't think you have sporting merit, which is fine because they can do that as much as I disagree with it or others may disagree with it. or agree based on which side of the fence you fall on.
I don't think this has anything to do with UEFA, though, right? They're just bent out of shape about the championship of Turkey. I don't think they care about the fact. I mean, obviously they care about it, but like, I don't think it's so much the fact that they didn't go to the Champions League. You know what I mean?
Right. It's not.
But you're saying that even though UEFA found them guilty, this got nothing really to do with Turkey. But like in the Turkish courts, if I may interrupt your rant a little bit, the Turkish courts, they admitted that some match fixing was sort of attempted, right? But they don't think that it really sort of had any
That was the
effect, right? Like they
TFF,
didn't
you
think it.
know, and you and people are talking
Right.
about the Turkish courts, you know, like you said, but I'm going to mention this in as a counterpoint that, you know, any football association around the world is autonomous from the government, so they can make their own decisions. So, you know, if there's some sort of government influence, you know, UEFA or FIFA, depending on which organization you want, isn't going to like that because any football association around the world says, you know, we make the decisions for football without any interference from any outside factors. So,
Okay, let me counter that a little bit by saying that, of course, they make their own decisions and it's all legal and everything. But I think the Trabzon people are arguing that it's just unjust, right? FIFA decided to give the 2022 World Cup to Qatar. It's perfectly within their right to do that. But was it crazy? And is FIFA probably corrupt? And was there do a lot of Americans feel a little bent out of shape about that? Like, yes. And it's not they're not bent out of shape because they don't think FIFA was within their legal right. They're bent out of shape because I think that that decision was sort of BS,
right.
right? So I mean, I think the Trabzon fans, but I think they get that. The TFF, was doing what the TFF does. I think what I will tell you though is I think you're right in the sense that you just gotta kind of let it go
Yeah. I mean,
eventually. And they haven't done that, but you know what? I don't think that diminishes their general complaint, which is they think they were sort of unjustly, I guess, not given what they deserved or whatever. And it's to them it seems like totally crazy. Just like the 2022 World Cup might seem totally crazy to me or whatever, but at some point you just gotta kind of
Yeah, let it go.
deal with
Yeah,
it.
exactly. Let it go. I mean, it's been argued on this podcast. You know, we were on the other network, and you know, I've mentioned it a few times since we've been on World Football Daily, and you know, we're also on simplyfootball.com as well. Quick plug to them. And I'm thinking, you know, at the end of the day, you know, decisions are not going to be always fair, but then again, life isn't always fair, you know. And Trabzonspor really should have just said, you know what, you know, we feel screwed, and we're just going to try and spend some money, get back into it, pick ourselves off, dust ourselves off, and win a championship on the field. That way, we could totally shove it up the you know what of the TFF and say, hey, look, we still won the championship. Now, what are you going to do? What do you want to do?
Yeah, right. I agree with you there, but I mean, how much time is enough time, right? And how much time is enough time to kind of complain and then maybe sort of ease off on the complaining a little bit,
Well, yeah, I
right?
mean, Hadji Osmanoğlu has been doing that, you know, ever since he succeeded his predecessor, Şadi Şener. You know, and Şener was basically almost senile to an extent, you know, or had dementia to a certain extent, you know. And then Hadji Osmanoğlu has been going, you know, I'll go to UEFA, I'll go to FIFA, but I know exactly what they're going to say. It's like, that's a domestic issue. That's not us. We can't really do anything for that situation. We can't really help you there. And, you know, with all that tension between Trabzonspor and Fenerbahce and their fans, why the heck are you going to show up in Fenerbahce's home stadium? To me, that just sounds like trolling. And the fact that he's there, and you know, I think you said it before we started recording, you know, he has the right to be there, and you know, that's fine. But dude, first of all, you're showing up at a stadium in very hostile territory, which you really shouldn't have. He really should never have been there to begin with. He just should have, you know, stayed in Trabzon or another part of Istanbul and maybe watched the match or something like that. You go over there, and then you all of a sudden you have a problem with the security detail. You know, the security detail said, you know, don't go out through the main entrance. I mean, it's pretty hostile out there. You know, the fans probably want your head. And, you know, I think they said it was kind of like a lynching situation. I think that's what some of the Trabzonspor officials said. You know, we could have been lynched or something like that. But I'm saying, hey, look, why did you even bother to show up in the first place? Why don't you use some common sense and not even bother to show up, knowing all the tension that's there? Okay?
Well, they got slammed with a 10,000 lira penalty for ignoring security's warnings. Like, only that, well, right? Like, gosh, the money that gets flung around for these kinds of penalties. Like, I'd have to take out a loan just to pay for ignoring security's instructions. Right,
exactly. You know, Haji Osman Oler, you know, it just seems as though he's provoking Fenerbahce fans. You know, him coming out of the SUV and, you know, and you know, cursing at the fans. And I didn't mention this on the format, but he actually did get a 30-day deprivation of rights suspension, so he can't like appear in any like club functions or anything like that. He's basically suspended from any club activity, and he got fined 22,000 Turkish lira himself. But you know, I mean, for me, like, why are you even bothering to show up? It's like, I mean, I would say, what did you expect? I mean, really, you're going to show up in hostile territory. People are not going to like you anyway, and I'm surprised he didn't get beat up when he was at the week one match when he was at the Atatürk Olympic Stadium sitting with the Çarşı fans during the Beşiktaş Trabzonspor game. You're like, okay, what is he doing there? You know, it's like he sits with the fans and it's like, oh, okay, well, it's your right to be there and blah, blah, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, exercise common sense. I mean, why, if you know that it's a hostile area, if you know that it's going to be hostile towards you and the club, and, you know, he said, you know, I don't have a problem with, you know, the Fenerbahce board, they actually treated us real well. And he actually said, like, there were 3 to 5 çapulcus, you know, kind of like mirroring Tayyip Erdogan's words for the Gezi Park protesters. And Recep Tayyip Erdogan, the prime minister, he actually came out and supported him. So I'm thinking, okay, are you just trying to tell me that you are kind of supporting this club underneath or something like that as a political party? Because it just comes off that way. You know, we've talked about the whole thing about the politics coming into this season after the Gezi Park protests in late May, early June. But
I'm really glad you mentioned this, by the way. Now, if I may chime in. I mean, it's just, you know, because I agree that Haji Osman Oğlu is the guy's a dumbass. I mean, because just based on what he did here, that's just, I agree with you there. That was stupid of him. But how much of the anger or like just the frustration and discontent with this guy do you think is also because it was a very kind of political scene at this game, right? I mean, like, yeah, you know, speaking they were chanting slogans all throughout, right? I mean, and it's like, you know, if this guy wasn't like, you know, having close ties with the ruling government and everything like that, do you think it would be so bad if the guy, you know, if Haji Osman Oğlu was just like, you know, politically just sort of you know, one of the Chapel Jews, if you will, and you just happen to show, because we don't, you know, I'm sure others have showed up at their away games, or, you know, the other chairman and, you know, have shown up, you know, people in the camps have shown up at away matches and we never heard about it. Right.
I mean, this is basically a protocol thing. They show up in the VIP tribune, you know, the chairman are there and, you know, they mingle and blah, blah, blah, and all that other stuff, you know, for the photo op and all that. But even if, like, Haji Osman Oğlu wasn't accused of really being close to the AK party, and obviously you remember we talked about that one article where he presented Recep Tayyip Erdogan with that Trabzonspor jersey while he was in Rize, you know, the world leader type deal, or when Erdogan showed up to Trabzonspor headquarters. But the thing is, he had to exercise common sense. If you know that it's not going to be a good environment for you to be in, if you know that it's going to be a very negative environment, obviously Fenerbahce fans are not very happy with Trabzonspor anyway, because they believe that, you know, they're just being a bunch of crybabies. You know, they're saying to get over it. It's like, well, why show up? Why are you showing up to hostile territory? And the thing is, you know, I was saying about, you know, him really taking care of his own house first. Now, again, I didn't put this on the format because it was kind of beyond the news deadline that we kind of have. But I did read something earlier today before we started recording this that Volkan Şen, you know, the Trabzonspor player, actually showed up to, you know, the Trabzonspor facilities with his lawyer demanding 120,000 euros of back pay because he hadn't been paid. Now, Trabzonspor put out a statement saying that they paid him 170,000 euros, but still, I mean, we've heard that Trabzonspor has had problems paying their players. I mean, last week, I didn't mention this, UEFA came out and said, they're having their prize money withheld because of the whole financial fair play thing. And there was an article up on Bloomberg talking about the financial state of the Turkish clubs on the stock market. And I'm thinking, well, I can only imagine what it's like for the other Anatolian teams. But, someone on Twitter said, well, those four clubs, Fenerbahce, Beşiktaş, Galatasaray, and Trabzonspor, they're under more pressure because they've got, regulators to answer to. They got stockholders to answer to. So that's another thing that people really should understand is that, Trabzonspor, they owe some a good amount of money. I mean, we talked about Halil Altıntop like leaving Trabzonspor because he wasn't getting paid. And I don't know if UEFA will give out their prize money of their participation in the Europa League, but Trabzonspor, they're not in very good financial shape, and it's actually kind of worse for them because they're a much smaller club compared to the Istanbul Big Three. And if Hagi Osmanoğlu would have just said, you know what, as far as I'm concerned, I'm just going to try and build a team on the field and shove it up the TFF's you know what and have the team win anyway. Trabzonspor's not doing too badly. Let's put it that way. I mean, okay, it's not a quarter of the season through yet, but they're not doing too badly. Mustafa Akçay's been doing pretty well for himself, especially in European competitions. So, I mean, the fact that, he still has this grudge, I mean, it's like, dude, you got to get over it. Trabzonspor has got problems internally in terms of their finances. Why hasn't he decided to fix that? They're signing like Florent Malouda and, Jose Bisingwa to contracts. Okay, they came as free agents, but, for their salaries, I mean, it's a pretty hefty chunk of change. But yet you're still not paying Volkan Şen. And even though, you put out a statement that you made up the back pay, I was reading some comments that's like, that was saying, what has Volkan Şen done for Trabzonspor ever since he came? This guy hasn't really played all that well. Well, if I'm under contract and I'm not getting paid, well, I would have the right to sue the employer because you're not living up to the terms of the contract.
Right. I mean, I see what you're saying. Basically, he should have just stayed in Trabzon and maybe, done some of the accounts instead
Well,
of showing up to the match. But like, let me just ask you this though. I mean, both clubs were penalized for the BS that happened at this game. I guess, okay, they didn't directly punish Hagi Osmanoğlu, but they did fine the club,
Well, they
right?
did. Well, the PFDK did.
Do you
They
think
did.
you right?
He's suspended for 30 days.
Well, oh yeah, that's true. Sorry, you mentioned that. Do you think that the punishments were doled out were not unreasonable?
I think they would have to be reasonable. I think the reason why Fenerbahce got fined, that much is because, well, they're hosting the match.
Right.
The club is technically responsible for that sort of thing, So obviously, I
Right.
mean, is it too much? I could see the arguments for being too much. Maybe if it was like 80,000 or 100,000, that wouldn't be too bad.
Right, like something much closer to what Trabzonspor got fined for their
Yeah.
mess. But like, I guess my point is like, yeah, Hagi Osmanoğlu is a jerk, and Trabzonspor have a whole bunch of their own issues and stuff. But they were punished too for it. I mean, like,
Right.
will they learn? I guess. But when it comes to Fenerbahce Trabzonspor, there's just too much emotion, right? It's not reasonable things aren't going to happen at these
Yeah.
games.
I mean, I hate to say this, but Turkish football isn't really known for a lot of reason. It just isn't.
I think that's why we follow it
Yeah.
more. That's why I follow it, because it's just
But
crazy.
you know
Like,
what? I think at the end of the day, if I might conclude my little rant on Hagi Osmanoğlu, I think the guy really executed real life trolling. I mean, that's what he did. I mean, it's like, so,
just a
yeah. I
troll.
mean, I thought Felipe Melo was a troll. I think Hagi Osmanoğlu has now beaten him to that. And his
They both can be trolls if you want.
now, I think Melo, we kind of expect that. Hagi Osmanoğlu, I think for a chairman, I think he should know better, because he's representing the club. Melo, I mean, he's a player, but we kind of know what we're getting ourselves into when it comes to talking about him. But I mean for somebody of that sort of status, and he should have exercised some common sense. I mean, that's all I'm saying about that.
Fair enough.
Okay, I was going to get into a little bit of a discussion on the UEFA Women's Champions League, but we kind of run a little bit long on this segment, so we'll save that for our next segment. And we'll also talk about the Turkish national team matches coming up this weekend against Estonia and the Netherlands. So stay tuned. And welcome back to Turkish Football Weekly. So let's talk about the UEFA Women's Champions League, the round of 32 first leg. You know, we've been covering Konak Belediyesi for a while now, and they beat Unia Rasiborz of Poland 2-1 in the first leg of the round of 32. Kosmina Dusha and Sevgi Chinar in the 9th and 31st minutes, respectively, with the goals for Konak. But Marta Mika gets the away goal for Rasiborz in the 43rd minute. Really not many people in this game. I mean, I read a Hurriyet Daily News article saying that, you know, people were being encouraged to come out in Izmir to support the team. And I don't know what the attendance was. I think it was a pretty bad attendance at the Alsancak Stadium. But, you know, for Konak Belediyesi, I mean, this is a pretty good result going back to Poland. And let's see where this ends, you know. Let's see if they can keep this going.
At first, I was sort of a little disappointed with just, you know, the 2-1 victory because, you know, because Unia Rasiborz got that away goal, and they've got to go back to Poland and get enough of a result. But it could have been a lot worse. You know, they could have drawn, they could have lost, and they pulled it off. And, you know, frankly, I think one of the things that's kind of carrying this team is that, you know, even if they go back to Poland next week, and it is a week from today as we record that, I think the second leg's on the 17th of October, which is Thursday. If they go back and they get totally whooped or something, or maybe it's close and they still lose, Konak Belediyesi, I mean, they'll be able to hang their heads high and say, like, we made it farther than anyone else has from this country. I think that kind of gives them a little bit of extra encouragement when they play, just kind of knowing that even if they fail at this point, it's still a success. They can't fail now.
Right. I mean, nothing's a failure at this point. I mean, we never expected any women's club team from Turkey to get this far. So, you know, really anything from here on out is just a bonus for us. I mean, we talked about the last couple years about, you know, Ataşehir Belediyespor, you know, they couldn't get out of that little, you know, group qualification thing. You know, I mean, it was just mostly a mention, you know, every August, and, you know, it became kind of like an annual thing to see how, you know, a women's team is progressing. But for Konak Belediyesi, I mean, for me, I mean, they pretty much can hold their head high, like you said, and, you know, they've really got nothing to lose. I mean, they're pretty much in uncharted territory for any Turkish women's football club.
Definitely. And the other thing to keep in mind, too, is that, like, in women's football, there aren't as many teams, right? And so the sheer range of skill level from the worst teams to the best teams is going to be a lot greater, my opinion, than in men's football, right? So, like, my point is that, like, you know, even if they get past Unia Rasiborz, the next team might completely whoop them, right? Because it's just, and we saw some of the scores from some of the other matches, especially these German women's teams are just destroying everybody. Right. So, I mean, it's not like Konak Belediyesi is going to, you know, make the run to the gold, but it's refreshing to be able to talk about, in my opinion, and it's also refreshing to see that Turkey, a country that's not really known for women's anything, is actually having some success in women's football.
Well, two of the women's track and field athletes were known for getting caught doping. That's about it. But other than that, there's really not much in terms of women's sports. I mean, I know women's volleyball is pretty popular in Turkey, but
that's true.
Yeah. And to an extent, women's basketball, but not women's football.
No, I didn't mean to diminish all
women's sports. No. I know that. I didn't know that.
You know what I mean. Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing.
They'll have to go a little farther to become an inspiration. Like you said, attendance probably wasn't amazing at this game. No. But, you know, they're having fun. I've been following their Facebook group, and they put up some posts, and they all look like they're very happy with this. Yeah. I mean, obviously they should
be. So let's move on to the Turkish national team then. Do or die time against Estonia and the Netherlands, which will be on Friday the 11th of October and Tuesday the 15th?
Yeah, you're right. The 15th.
Okay. Just want to make sure I got my dates right. But it is a Friday and a Tuesday. So I just want to make sure the dates were right. So the roster from Beşiktaş, Olcay Şahan, Gökhan Töre, Tolga Zengin, Ersan Adem Gülün, Mustafa Pektemek. From Fenerbahçe, Alper Potuk, Gökhan Gönül, Volkan Demirel, Caner Erkin, Hasan Ali Kaldırım, and Mehmet Topal. Four players from Galatasaray, Burak Yılmaz, Umut Bulut, Selçuk İnan, and Semih Kaya. Cenk Tosun from Gaziantepspor, Salih Dursun from Kayserispor. From Trabzonspor, Onur Kıvrak, Aykut Demir, and Olcan Adin. Arda Turan from Atletico Madrid, Ömer Toprak from Bayer Leverkusen, and Hakan Çalhanoğlu from Hamburg. Now, a strained ligament will sideline Nuri Sahin for the next 3 weeks, so that's a pretty big loss there. He was originally named to the roster, but he was taken out. And One thing to watch out for the Estonia game is Burak Yılmaz, Ömer Toprak, Hasan Ali Kaldırım, Caner Erkin, Semih Kaya, Volkan Demirel, and Arda Turan are on that, yellow card line. If they get a yellow card in the Estonia game, they're going to miss that real do or die match in the Nether against the Netherlands, and that's a home match. And it's just basically do or die time for these guys, and everybody's pretty much on a united front in this case. The club thing, that's in the past, and it may be awkward to see Volkan Demirel and Onur Kıvrak training with each other because they did get into it at the Fenerbahçe Trabzonspor game, but it might be awkward for them. However, at this point, they do have to win, and Fatih Terim, all he has to do is win two more matches, and I think maybe Turkey does have a shot at the playoffs, but it depends on removing that last place team and the points that Turkey gained from there, and I guess it's pretty much going to be Andorra, so those points are going to be wiped away. But basically, do or die, they have to win both games.
Yeah, a lot of things really have to go right for Turkey at this point. It's kind of frustrating because we'd sort of given up hope already, and now it seems like there is some hope. I guess that should be more encouraging than frustrating. Who's the starting goalkeeper? Because if it's not Onur Kıvrak, I'm upset. Frankly, Volkan Demirel, he's had his moments, both good and bad, and I don't know about that guy anymore. I mean, I don't know. I can't remember the last time I saw like a lot of effort from the guy. And maybe he just doesn't like to show a lot of effort or whatever. But like I just don't see a kind of that goalkeeper's desperation, in him and it and a lot of goals where he just kind of he gets a thumb to it or something, but it kind of gets past him and he doesn't really seem to care. Am I crazy or
Yeah, I think
what?
you have a pretty good argument, especially for the way, Kvara has performed over the last couple of weeks. I mean, I mentioned it earlier that, he has over 360 minutes, I think we said, that he's had a shutout
Yeah.
streak, over 360 minutes. So,
What else does the guy have to
yeah.
do? Is my
Yeah, but
question.
you know these things. I think there's still like maybe club
Well, yeah.
lobbies or something. But yeah, I think I
For
see
sure.
your point that Kvara should start. But I think like Demirel may have like maybe a little more experience in like the big game moments.
Oh,
Yeah,
definitely, yeah.
so there's like that argument there. So interestingly enough, I think Fatih Terim did come out with his starting 11 already, but I didn't have it up on my computer. But we'll see it, when they play on Friday against Estonia. So that'll be interesting to watch. But basically, I mean, Estonia in Tallinn, I believe it is. I think that's pretty much doable, although I do remember a disappointment some years ago. They were playing in Estonia and they came back with a draw. But, Turkey has never lost against Estonia. But as long as they get past Estonia with a win, obviously then comes the real do or die game against the Netherlands. So we'll see how it plays out. And if Fatih Terim does somehow lead Turkey to the qualification playoffs, well then, well, Yıldırım Demirören looks like a genius for hiring him away from Galatasaray.
True. And I have pulled up the starting 11 if you want me to read it
Oh
off
yeah,
real
go ahead.
quick. Yep. So it's Volkan, Gökhan, Semih, Ömer, Caner, Gökhan Töre, Selçuk, Mehmet Topal, Arda, Burak, and Umut are going to start against
Yeah,
Estonia
I can
tomorrow,
understand
is what
Umut starting
I've
because at
been
least,
said. Yeah.
he's kind of like that. He's been that kind of like 12th man that, on duty striker, that nöbetçi. I think you've heard that term while you were in Turkey, the on duty striker. When he's needed, he
Right.
scores. And if he's needed off the bench,
Yeah, they usually sub him in later. It's nice to see him starting.
And the way Burak Yılmaz has been playing, maybe Umut Bulut has become like the number two forward at Galatasaray, all things considering, behind Drogba. So, I mean, we'll have to see what happens if he starts for the national team. If he does well, maybe Mancini at Galatasaray should start Umut Bulut because, they really have nothing much else to lose at this point. But what do you think of when you look at the starting lineup? I mean,
Yeah, I
I
mean,
know you're probably angry at the fact that Onur Kıvrak isn't starting, though.
I'll get over it though. I think it looks good. I'll be kind of interested to see, who gets subbed in and when, right? I mean, I think there's a kind of a lot of strategy in that, but it's nice. I haven't seen anything of Arda in a long time. I mean, he's even really been getting a lot of playing time. I've just lost track of him
Well,
completely.
I know that a guy who's in Madrid right now, who's actually on the Mexican soccer show, Naib Moran, and he's told me he's an Atletico Madrid fan, and he's been really impressed with Arda lately. So, Arda Turan has been doing doing some really good stuff over there in Atletico Madrid. And I think Atletico Madrid has gone 8-for-8 in La Liga, so kudos to him.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. No, I'm really excited to see him again, right? And possibly see how he's improved too in his time at La Liga, in La Liga. So I guess I'm just sort of relieved it's Fatih Terim. I'm also kind of relieved that he's no longer really tied up with Galatasaray right now. I think if Turkey stands a chance, we're at this point giving it our best. Hopefully it's just not too late, right?
Yeah, hopefully it's not too little too late. But I mean...
But yeah, right. I just looked up, you know, Atletico Madrid is, tied for first basically right now in La Liga after eight matches. Tied with Barcelona, of course.
Right, but. And they're 8-0-0, I believe, right?
That is correct.
Okay, so I was right on that. I did.
Yeah, it's just goal difference.
So yeah, I mean, Arda Turan's been doing wonderfully in Atletico Madrid, so it should be nice to see him again. I should watch more La Liga, but, I just don't have the time sometimes. But yeah, I mean, I'll probably be watching this over Watch ESPN, that application. So, in case anybody, here in the States can be able to watch it, go ahead and watch it. So I think that's going to do it here for Turkish Football Weekly this week. So I guess we can bump on out of here. Jeremy, thank you again for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me. I had a blast.
I mean, any final thoughts before we get bump out?
Yeah, but my only final thought is that the Estonia-Turkey match is at 2:30 in the afternoon, and I'm going to try to duck out of work early, but then I'm going to be driving, yeah. So I'm going to miss it. But, at this point, I'm trying not to get my hopes up too much about that, right? Because they got to beat the Netherlands on Tuesday. Right. But, yeah, my final thoughts are, looking forward to just a crazy weekend of Turkish football. Even though it's not the league, I still feel like it has potential because it's Turkey. Right.
Let's see what happens. So that will do it for this week's edition of Turkish Football Weekly, and we will see you all next time.